Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
It is a blessing to study God's Word with you. As you know, not all the Bible is easily understood with stories and simple lessons. Thankfully, many parts of the Bible can be read and understood quite easily, but there are some sections we read and wonder, why did God allow this? What made him include this in the Bible? Today, our passage from Mark is one of those harder passages. It makes you ask, why, God? Why? As I'm sure you know, that is a difficult question, and we won't directly answer that question, but there are some things we can learn from the death of John the Baptist. This story is found in Mark 6. Please turn there if you can, and J. Mark will guide us through the lesson.
As we resume our journey through Mark's Gospel, we've arrived at the account of the death of John the Baptist. This record is inserted into the narrative following Jesus' rejection in Nazareth and also the sending of the 12 on their mission. I've noticed that the theme of rejection runs through these verses. First of all, Jesus is rejected in Nazareth, and then he instructs the 12 how to handle rejection in their ministry, and finally, we now come to John's rejection and his death. You know, the disciples' mission tour of Galilee awakened that whole region to Jesus' name and power because they healed and cast out demons and preached the gospel. That awakening brought Jesus to the attention of Herod, and it led him to the mistaken conclusion that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. That news awakened Herod's conscience, and the narrative provides a flashback of the events that led to John the Baptist's death. And so I've titled our study, The Lord's Messenger, and our text is Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. Here is the Word of God. Now King Herod heard of him, that is Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him, and she wanted to kill him. But she couldn't, because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came, when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, and yet, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. This text highlights the essential qualities that all of the Lord's messengers must develop to reflect the character of Jesus and to deliver his message effectively. The first quality of the Lord's messenger is develop a godly reputation. As I said earlier, the disciples' mission tour awakened the whole region to Jesus' name and power. And so people were speculating about who he was. Some said, he's John the Baptist. Others said, Elijah. And still others said, no, he's like one of the prophets of old. But Herod said, "This is John the Baptist, the man whom I beheaded. He has risen from the dead." I believe Herod's conclusion was the result of a guilty conscience. He knew he had unjustly murdered an innocent man. Verse 20 says that he feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John impressed Herod. He realized, this is no ordinary man. He is just and holy. And so Herod was greatly perplexed. This quality of character, a godly reputation, is one that every genuine messenger of the Lord should strive to develop. The reason that Herod had arrested John and put him in prison was because of his adulterous partner, Herodias. She was the wife of Herod's brother Philip, and she would have immediately killed John, but Herod protected him, at least temporarily, from her murderous designs. Would people describe you using the terms just and holy? What impressions do my interactions leave on others? John the Baptist was what we might call a rustic, in the mold of the Old Testament prophets, and by the way, he was the last of them. However, according to our text, his reputation for godliness and humility and justice were unquestioned. As the Lord's messengers, you and I must also develop a godly reputation. People may appreciate that, or it may arouse opposition, as we'll see here in just a moment. There's another quality of the Lord's messenger. It's the ability to deliver a grating message. In verse 16, we learn why John was imprisoned. Herod had entered into an adulterous relationship with Herodias while she was still married to his brother. And John rebuked Herod, and he told him, he said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Now that was not a popular message. As messengers of the Lord, you and I must be prepared to stand upon the truth of God's word. And that truth will grate on the ears and consciences of those it convicts, even when we speak it in love. Today, even many people who profess to follow the Lord don't want to listen to his word. Paul warned Timothy about this very thing. He told him, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So John's grating message aroused Herod's fear, and Mark describes that fear in verse 20. He indicated that Herod was in a continuous state of fear. His fears tormented him. He feared John. Why? Because he knew John was innocent. And he was afraid of Herodias too, because she was vengeful. She was a hateful woman. Herod knew what was right, but his passions and his feelings overcame his better judgment. John's message also grated on Herodias. She held it against him. She wanted to kill him, but she couldn't, because Herod protected him. So she nursed her hatred. She waited for the right time to strike. You know, as the Lord's messengers, you and I must be willing to deliver a message that grates on the ears of the hearer. We must speak the truth in love, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. And yes, we must also remember our sinful past, our susceptibility to sin, and our tendencies towards self-righteousness. But we cannot allow those things to muzzle us and keep us from proclaiming the truth of God and His Word. Today, more than ever, we need to stand boldly and confidently on the Word of God, regardless of the cost. And then the final quality that I see of the Lord's messenger here in this text is, die a grievous death. Some of us may find ourselves in circumstances like John the Baptist's, where proclaiming the truth will cost us our lives. John was willing to accept that. He was willing to tell the truth and suffer the consequences. Herodias was a conniving woman. She planned to use Herod's birthday party to spring her trap. And so after this extensive feasting and drinking, Herodias sent her daughter to dance before the king and his guests. Herodias degraded her own daughter as if she were a common prostitute to carry out her scheme. She would do anything to rid herself of this hated prophet. And so this drunken group is lounging on the couches, and they were pleased by the sensual dancing of this young woman. In his drunkenness, Herod's inhibitions disappeared, and his judgment left him. He rashly promised the princess anything, even as much as half of the kingdom. He had been caught in the trap of Herodias. It was a public promise. And so this young woman, not knowing what to ask for, asked her mother's counsel. She was probably unprepared for her mother's horrible reply. Notice how her request, that is her mother's request, and the subsequent execution were carried out. The text says it happened in haste. Everything had to be done before the king sobered up. So Herod sent an executioner to perform that gruesome task, and he soon returned, bringing the head to the princess, who took it to her mother. This miserable man, Herod, the slave of his passion for Herodias, now became the slave of his fears. The ghost of John haunts him, and he shudders at the reports of Jesus' work. Our text closes with John's disciples taking his body and giving him a proper burial. As a messenger of the Lord, he was faithful, even to death. As children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I are the Lord's messengers. Confessing Jesus with our mouth is an integral part of our salvation, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. When you and I realize what we have been saved from and what we have been saved for, how can we not proclaim the truth that has set us free? Let's strive to develop a godly reputation by God's grace and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had that reputation. Further, we must be willing to deliver a grating message. If we refuse to confront sin out of fear of rejection, that's not love. John cared for Herod's eternal destiny, and John discovered that speaking the truth publicly, especially regarding influential people, can be very dangerous. Finally, we must be willing to die to defend and proclaim the truth. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world can teach us how to do this with grace and dignity. Maybe you know people who have faced this cost. May Jesus' testimony of us be similar to his testimony of John the Baptist when he said, "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light."
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this lesson with us. You've given us good things to think about. This is a hard story. Why would God allow this godly man to die because of such a horrible, shallow request? John had faithfully prepared the way for Jesus and spoke God's truth to Herod, but God did not spare him from a martyr's death. This question, and others like it, may not be answered completely till we are with Jesus. Till then, we can walk in faith, trusting that he is working in every situation, even when it does not make sense to us. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to contact us, you can reach us by email or internet. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. There, go to the Partner tab at the top. Under this tab, you will see Contact Us. From there, you can message us directly. Please, get in touch with us using the method that is easiest for you. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks so much for being with us for today's program. There is a good passage in Isaiah that speaks to the big, hard questions we may have for God. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even when God doesn't make sense, and when we don't understand, we can still choose trust. And that's what we need to do.